Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, I'm Robert Washburn, host of Consider This Northumberland. Summer is a time for vacations. It is a chance to get some rest and relaxation. A time to get away and recharge. So for the next few weeks, Consider This Northumberland is going to take a break. We will still be on the air each Friday at noon and posting podcasts along with sending out the newsletter. It is important to keep you informed. Instead of new interviews each week, we will be airing some of the best interviews from our ninth season so far. It is a good chance to remember some of the newsworthy stories as we prepare to go to the polls in October. We will return in August in time to gear up for the municipal elections. So I hope you will keep listening. See you then. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Just this week, the Ontario government said it's rethinking its support for a high-speed rail project after the federal government rejected its plans to expand Billy Bishop Airport in Toronto. 11 MPPs from Eastern Ontario, including our own MPP David Piccini, released a statement questioning the Alto High-Speed Rail project. This interview revisits a conversation done in March with Trent Hills Mayor Bob Crate. The Alto High-Speed Rail project has him and his council very upset. So are many residents in Trent Hills. One proposed route goes straight through the heart of the municipality, impacting the village of Hastings and Campbellford, along with the surrounding area. Opposition to the rail project has gained momentum since the interview, including Alderville Band Council and many other residents and municipalities along the proposed routes across the province and Quebec. Have a listen and think about the Ontario government's demands in the context of this local disapproval. Will this turn the tide? I'm so pleased to have with me today Trent Hills Mayor Bob Crate. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Good morning.
In a recent press release, Trent Hills Council expressed serious concerns about a proposed Alto High-Speed Rail Study Corridor. Let's start at the beginning. When did you personally become aware of the Alto High-Speed Rail project?
Well, I guess I knew at some point, probably in past years. I mean, there was an announcement they were going to put a train from Toronto to Montreal that would go through Peterborough and go down a corridor on Highway 7. And I knew that. And I, you know, it didn't really concern us. I mean, I don't really see the compelling need to have something like that, but that's fine and dandy. It was going down Highway 7. So I hadn't thought about it until I started to get, well, I got a couple of phone calls from my counselors saying that they'd been contacted about this high speed. And I said, well, you know, what are we talking about? I said, my understanding was it was going down Highway 7. And they said, well, apparently now there's another route. So I came out to, I mean, I tried to find out about it and what was going on. And then we had one of the counselors went to a session, and so we then had an idea of where it was going, and going through Trent Hills, basically right through the sort of the middle of Trent Hills, which in truth, I mean, it would destroy our community. I mean, they have to have these corridors where there's a 60 meter wide or whatever the the width is, and their fence corridors. I mean, it would destroy the fabric of the community.
Let's talk a bit about what areas you see it impacting specifically in terms of the community as a whole.
Well, I mean, we are largely a farming community, but I mean, picture a farmer with a 200 acre farm, and this thing goes down through the middle of it. All of a sudden, to get from one half of the field to the other half of the field, you'll have to drive to some place where there is an overpass, so you could get over and then come back up to where your property was. I mean, I look at a farmer saying the same as I look at the municipality, and I say every side road that doesn't have an overpass becomes a dead end road on two sides. So, our people that are roads people all of a sudden go to plow a road. They can plow it to a certain distance, but then they somehow have to get around this corridor so they can plow the other half. So does that mean we need twice as much equipment because we got to go on both sides of this corridor? And they're not going to put an overpass at every concession road in Trent Hills.
What about places like Campbellford and Hastings, where there is more of a concentration of commercial and residential?
I don't know how they're going to do it. They haven't explained it to us. They haven't. Once this happened, actually, the deputy mayor went to a presentation in Peterborough, and got talking, and they came to talk to him, and he said, "What you're showing me is sort of a roadshow to show the public. It doesn't really answer any of my questions." So they offered to come down to the municipality, and about a week ago, Monday, I think, we had Alexis and Joel come down, and it was, I guess, sort of a pleasant conversation. But I was struck by the fact that the deputy mayor said, "Can you, share us with us, the information that you have that shows this is necessary and what's going here and what's going there?" And their answer was, "Well, we can't really share that information yet. We have to ask the federal government if we can give it to you." I mean, what is going on here? I said to her, "Use my money to do a study, and then you tell me I can't." Well, she said we didn't say we couldn't give it to you. We just have to get permission. Now, I'm beyond myself to think that we are being treated like we don't matter, and that's exactly where we are. From the talk that I hear from people, and this is exactly what somebody said, we don't matter because we have no seats that concern the federal government. And that's what I was told. So going forward, I'm, and I understand that the one place they want to stop in Eastern Ontario is a Liberal seat. So I rest my case on who counts.
If it were to take a more northerly route, would Trent Hills still be concerned? Because I know that there's a couple of routes around that.
Well,
area.
The route, my understanding is the route, the original route basically followed the hydro corridor through Eastern Ontario. And I mean, I'm not sure, and I don't want to upset other mayors, but I'm not sure without the information how much of this is needed. If I lived in Peterborough, I would surely like a high-speed link to get me to Toronto, because that's basically where I would go. I don't see the rest of the travel, and maybe it's there, but I don't see that need, and I think we'd be better served with a better flow of traffic to Toronto.
Has the municipality started any direct talks with the federal government?
Not yet. We haven't. We had that meeting with the the folks from the high speed train, but we haven't had anything. And now I am going to next week. The Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus is meeting in Kingston, and I'm attending. And I've asked that this be put on the agenda for discussion. You know, we will obviously be you know, attending AMO, and we will be asking for delegations at that time. But we have not had, I mean, our federal MP, Phil Lawrence, you know, has spoken about it, and we have spoken with him, but that's as far as it's gone.
Well, I do understand that your CAO has also reached out to MP Philip Lawrence, who represents our area. You've asked him to get help, to get someone from the government to come and talk to yourselves and residents from Trent Hills. What do you hope to achieve by that? What are you hoping to get at?
Well, I would hope we'd get some understanding. Right now, I mean, ignorance is a great fear. I mean, if you're sitting in your house right now on your farm outside of Camelford or between Camelford and Hastings, and maybe it's a family farm that's been in the family for two or three generations, and all of a sudden you're sitting there thinking, am I in the path? Am I going to lose my farm? Oh, sure, they're going to pay you. But that's not the fact. I mean, there's people out there that have been on family farms for generations around here. I mean, most of the prime agricultural land is what we have. I mean, we struggle to expand boundaries because, you know, we have to preserve and protect our farmland. And apparently we're the only ones that have to do it.
Philip Lawrence is not a member of the government.
No.
But rather, he's a member of the opposition. How effective do you think he can be in sort of in influencing any government decision?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I know he's persistent, and I have faith that he will take our case forward. I don't know. I mean, I think there are circles where they talk up there, and I'm sure that he's able to do that, and I trust him to take our case forward.
Have you tried to reach out to someone from the Liberal Party?
Not yet.
Do you have a plan to do that?
Well, we are putting together a plan to get the information. I mean last week, talking to the people, I mean, they're not even ready to give us the information that tells them that this train is needed.
That has to be extremely frustrating.
A little, yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, we got so much going on. And I know they talk about this being a wonderful thing and getting to Montreal in 5 hours or 3 hours instead of five driving. But they're talking $120 billion. I mean, I don't fathom the numbers anymore. I mean, you know, it's just, to me, they're destroying the fabric of you know, rural Ontario for greed.
This project is in the planning stages, and they make that very clear in all their literature, and at least right now, and it's collecting feedback. How concerned are you and council about getting heard before any decisions are made?
Oh, I'm not sure the decisions haven't been made, Robert. I mean, that's the problem, is that, you know, we are, you know, like mushrooms, you know, keeping in the dark. I mean, I look at this and, you know, I'm 78 years old. I'm not going to see this. I mean, they're talking finishing this thing off in 2044. And the way these things go, it'll probably be 2050 before it happens. So it's not in my lifetime. But I'm looking at, I mean, I grew up out here. I live here by choice. I'm not forced to live here. I live here by choice because I want this lifestyle. I want to live someplace that's, less stressful, and my children live here, and some of my grandchildren. And I look at it and say, what are they going to have in the future? I mean, we've got to the point where they'll probably never own a house. And now we're getting to a point where the lifestyle is going to be gone. And it's bothersome.
Both in our conversation and at council, it's been made pretty clear that you guys want to protect the settlement areas and the rural lands and the natural features. And that pretty much covers everything. Are you saying to the federal government and to Aalto that not in my backyard?
Well, I'm not sure it's that simple. I mean, I understand NIMBYism because I go. I mean, I see it very regularly in council. But to and when it was going down the corridor, it I don't think it affected a large a number of people. I mean, there's not great settlement areas just north of seven, and if they went down the hydro corridor, it doesn't affect most people. To put something through that's going to destroy. I mean, it's not like we're saying, somebody that comes for a severance and somebody else says, well, I don't want them to build a house there because it's going to destroy my view. This isn't that. This is a whole lot different. This is tearing apart a whole community, not just a couple of people affected. The thing is that they come out and they say, we're doing this and we're going to start to expropriate land immediately. But they say they don't have a set corridor, so who does it affect? We don't know who it affects. And to put that out there like that, all it does is create fear, and that's not right.
In the press release, it says that the proponents cannot go forward until there is, quote, here, clear local benefits and a comprehensive review. What would you consider clear local benefits?
I don't see a benefit. I don't see any benefit to this plan going forward. I mean, it's not going to stop anywhere here. I mean, it's going to Peterborough because it was promised some years ago. So they're keeping that promise and they're going to Peterborough. And going down, as I said, going down seven, that's another story. But now, all of a sudden, and whether it's political or because they told us it didn't, the price didn't matter. They said it would cost as much money to go down seven as it would to go through Trent Hills and down to Kingston and then off to Montreal. So they said money wasn't wasn't a factor. So I see no economic benefit to rural Ontario from this venture.
Well, that's interesting because the Aalto project says there's going to be more than 50,000 construction jobs created. It also talks about $24.5 billion in annual economic impact. Don't you think that there might be some economic benefit? I mean, council just received a staff report at your last meeting where Grey Jay Developments was touting both the new nuclear generating station and the Aalto project as creating jobs and a need for residential housing. I mean, the developer sees a bright spot. Now, do you agree or
Well,
no?
that's fine, but this train, I mean, yeah, there's going to be some jobs to build it, but once it's built, there's not one, I don't see 1 ounce of economic development. I mean, the train is not going to stop here. It's going to fly through here at whatever kilometers per hour it can go, and it's not going to, I mean, it's going to stop in Peterborough, and then it's going to stop in Kingston. So what's it doing? What's it doing for us after the jobs are gone? I mean after the construction and I'm sure that's going to bring some economic development. I mean, I look at Wesleyville, and I see bringing affordable electricity to all parts of Ontario, and I can understand that, and I can see where it's going to benefit more than just Port Hope. But I don't see this, other than the construction part, I don't see any benefit.
The proponents also say the project's going to be good for the environment by taking 100,000 cars off the road annually. How do you respond to this argument that this project will be good for the environment?
Well, if we all have electric cars, what's the difference going to be between an electric train and an electric car? I mean, they have to make an argument to make it worthwhile. So they come out and say, you know, it's going to take, it's not going to, I don't see that. I definitely don't see it out here, because the train isn't stopping. You can put all the facts you want in the world, but if the train leaves Peterborough and then hits Kingston and then goes to Montreal, it's not doing anything here.
You made a really good point earlier about this may not happen in our lifetime. But the project timelines do seem far away. I mean, they don't expect it to start to go forward until 2029, 2030. And that's going to be in the sort of Ottawa to Montreal section. So each phase is expected to take like a decade to complete. This sounds like it's going to be so far down the road. How urgent is this fight right now?
Well, I don't see that. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, the numbers they showed us, or the dates they showed us, was being completed to Toronto in 2044, and I don't see that as being the end date. I as I said earlier, I suspect it's probably a few years later than that. I guess, in one sense, let's make a decision on where it's going, and let's have us have some input in this and not just stuff it down our throats. I don't see a reason for this train to go through our community when there's a perfectly good corridor going east and west. I mean, I haven't seen the numbers. I mean, how can you fight when they got all the information and we got nothing? We can't say that. They can say, well, there's going to be 100,000 cars taken off the road. Well, how do you justify that? Well, we can't tell you that. It's not. We're not playing in the fair game ballpark here. You know, they can keep shooting off all the arrows they want. And we have no way to say, but you're wrong.
Public consultations end at the end of March, only a few weeks away. What do you hope will happen between then and now?
Well, I hope that we've asked for them to come to Trent Hills, and let the people have a say, and not the roadshow. We want the information. I mean, the roadshow is, it's all packaged. You go from step A to step B to step C, and they feed you what they want to feed you. We want the information. We want the numbers and the information that say this is a viable situation. I mean, I can't imagine spending $140 billion or $120 billion, dollars, and what the payback is. What's the payback on this if we spend, all this taxpayers' money to build this train? Is it going to pay for itself, or is it going to be subsidized to the hilt? We don't know. It's pretty hard to put up a a viable alternative when you don't have any information.
Will you be bringing this before Northumberland County Council, and will it have a role in this as well?
Yes, we are on the agenda for, I think, the 15th of April.
What advice do you have for residents if they have concerns?
Well, I mean, let us know. I mean, I'm getting emails from all sorts of places in Ontario, encouraging us to keep up the fight. And I want our people to know that, you know, we were blindsided on this, in a sense that we didn't know about this southern route. And they can say they put it out an email, but a generic email to whatever number of mayors they sent it to does not constitute information that on such a critical project. I mean, we should have been contacted. Somebody should have come and spoke to our council and told us what was going on, but they didn't. And I told them, you know, you threw us under the bus. I got people sending me emails accusing me of hiding stuff, and that hurts. I mean, I care more for this community than anybody I know. And to have people say that we were complicit with this group going forward, that's not right.
What's next after the consultation window closes?
Well, I mean, hopefully, you know, we'll get some input and maybe be included in the conversation. I mean, right now, we're just an afterthought.
Bob Crate, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
My pleasure, Robert. Anytime. I appreciate the chance to put our case forward.
That was Trent Hills Mayor Bob Crate.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.